You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 533, Legion Secret Origins, Shadow of the Past. And welcome to episode 533, Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am Montgomery Scott Ladd.
Oh, goodness.
I've been changing around the dilithium crystals and the machines. They cannot take it.
Oh, no. They cannot take it anymore.
It's as terrible as my Scottish accent, so.
Did you try?
I did not. I did not try. Because I knew that the difference would be negligible.
No, I was going to ask you if you tried reversing the polarity of the power couplings through the reflector screen.
Oh, see? That's
that's usually something that happens. So.
Yeah, but that's some Wesley Crusher shit. So,
shut up, Wesley.
Over to you, sir.
Hi, everybody. I am Darren Noel, and tonight I am getting ready to go back to work tomorrow, that guy.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's going to be a skeleton crew, but there needs to be people there to answer finance questions and to buy stuff for people, because tomorrow is technically not a state holiday. I have to go to work. So we're letting the rest of the crew take a vacation day, and my boss and I are going to be there. So
there you go.
So yay.
Keeping the lights on and up in Georgia.
You know it. Don't want the lights to go out in Georgia. That when that happens, things get bad. There's a ballad.
I heard that was bad. Yes. Yeah,
it's not pretty. Someone jumps off the Tallahatchie Bridge next, and you know it's not good. Over to you, Travis.
Hey, everybody. This is Travis Ellisor, and I am Rocky Lad. Rocky. Yeah, every year for Christmas, I have to tell my mom something to get me for a gift, because if I don't, she'll get me something anyway that I don't like.
There you go.
Yeah. And I never have anything to tell her. But this year, I was like, you know what? I'd really like the Rocky movies.
Nice.
I've always liked them, so I got a set. And so this past week when I've been on vacation, I've watched every single Rocky movie.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Is that include
how long did that
last
take?
Well, that was over a few days.
Not
all together. But I think they average it right at 2 hours each, almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
But, but it was nice to see Rocky, you know, when he ends communism in Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah.
He brings world peace.
Single-handedly.
Do you include the two Creed movies?
No, those did not come in the set.
Oh, okay.
But that's purely the Rockies.
But they are excellent, and you should watch them after the Rocky movies, because...
I've seen the first one, and I love it. I've not seen the second one. I'm sure there will eventually be a Creed box set.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, it's only because the movie was in theaters that they didn't have one out this year, because they boxed up every other damn movie.
Yeah, yeah, they did. It'll guest star Action Jackson as his twin too. Oh, when you wait for it.
Nice.
Anyway, over to you, Michael.
All right. Well, I hate to bring this crowd down a little bit, I am Michael Grabois, and this week I am saying goodbye to my dog, Lad.
Oh, no.
Aw.
Yeah, she was 15 years old and had developed heart problems, and unfortunately it was her time, and that's a tough decision that you got to make when you're in that position. But, you know, when you're a pet owner, you're kind of obligated to make that decision, because the pet's not going to make the decision for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's very sad. I'm sorry, Michael.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, man. Yeah.
Sorry for you lost her.
But, you know, 15 years is a good long time for
a good run. It's a bucket of wind.
Yeah.
Yep.
She had a good run.
You cannot complain about that.
Nope.
Alrighty. So it's going to be a short one, because everyone's sick.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just cutting the chase kid now. So
yeah, I was gonna be mucus membrane lad at the beginning, but then
it's taken me all week to get. I had a week off. It took me all week to get over what I had when we were doing Die Hard. So you know,
yeah,
yay.
There you go. All right, so it is the last episode of the year.
Yay!
So we will not be doing a podcast again until next year.
Yeah,
I love using that one.
I know.
Yeah, I've been saying to the kids all week when they've been like, "When do we go back to school?" And it's like, "Not until next
year."
Not until next year. And they're like, "Really? Yeah, really."
Really?
Oh, next. Yeah, next Monday is going to be a rude awakening. They both love it, but you know, they also like the idea of sitting at home,
and sleeping in, and
yeah, exactly.
Well, one of my New Year's resolutions is to pick up the first issue of Legion Volume 8 in 2019.
Ooh, that's a wonderful thing. Will it come out after Doomsday Clock's over?
I'm predicting that Doomsday Clock will be over in 2019.
Wow, that's bold.
Oh, man.
That's bold.
There's only two issues left. And I don't think they're going to be pulling a Camelot 3000 on.
You're forgetting about the triple-sized annual they'll release to fix everything they put in it. So
I'm more optimistic that we will have a new book in 2019 than I was that we were going to have one in 2018.
I'm actually on Michael's team on this one. I think we will get a new book soon, thanks to Supergirl.
Michael, yeah. I thought there were four books left for Doomsday Clock.
It's a 12-issue series, right?
Yeah, we've only had 3 issue 8 come out.
Oh, I was thinking 10 because I saw 10.
No, they keep putting covers out there and
yeah,
not attaching anything to them. So
what you're saying
you're
is...
Yeah, you're right. It was
maybe 2020.
It can still go sideways.
Yeah.
No, that's one per quarter.
Yeah,
surely they can handle that.
Don't call me. They're out in California now. They can do what they want. They're relaxed. They're eating kale.
They're not in
the hustle and bustle of New York anymore, where if you don't get it done, it's going to be done by somebody else. It's going to look like crap. It's done. You know?
Yeah. So. Just looking to see if there is no news.
No,
not that I've heard.
It's a slow news week. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean that's that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's.
Oh, I did want to point out one thing. Today I posted in the Facebook group, and if people don't go there, they might want to. The original color guide to the tabloid.
Ooh.
Yeah, Anthony Tallon.
Yeah. I remember Adrienne Roy, who I believe was married to him at one point. She used to post some of her color guides as well, which I thought was really neat because they would give you the actual blends for everything.
Well, she did it. But he did a proper scan of it. He found it.
Nice.
And he passed away.
Yeah, she died a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, she's been gone for a bit, yeah.
He made a proper scan of it and posted it in another Facebook group, and I saw it, and I was like, well, this might be interesting for the Legion fans.
That is fantastic. I love that.
Very, very cool.
What's interesting about it, unless you want to read it, Travis?
No, you can go ahead.
It says, this particular color guide represents a real changing of the guard. It was colored by Adrian and DC Comics president Saul Harrison, who turned the tabloid colors over to Adrian after the following one, the Superman versus Muhammad Ali. So as far as I know, this is Tallon writing. This was the final cover coloring done by the legendary comics pro who began his career in 1934 with Famous Funnies number one.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the
one. And then he later rose to become president of DC.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember reading an issue of back issue at one point that got into a lot of the, because there was one of the guys that was like Howard Stern's uncle or something like that, and so he used to give him comics all the time, and so Howard used to mention this guy on his show a lot, and so they actually did get into like the old production guys, basically, like Saul.
Yeah.
It was Jack something or other, which is good odds.
Jack Adler?
Might have been.
Not Jack Handy.
Oh, Jack Handy.
Probably not.
Oh, Jack Handy. But yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah, people should check that out. It's you can find it at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. It's where we keep all that stuff. And and that came by way of the Back Issue magazine group, actually, as it appears. So very cool. I'm so glad you found that, because I love stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
It's amazing. And yeah, Tolan's you know, again, one of those guys who was on that in between cusp, right? He there's a lot of knowledge that guy's got about what went down that someone's got to get from him at some point, because like that's where we learn sort of, like, you know, we've talked about this in the past where you never really know sort of the full story, and there's a lot of these little stories about just how stuff came about, like, you know, like learning that this was the last book, last cover colored by you know, a guy that started in the early 30s, and you know, 40 years later he's doing this cover. Yeah, it's just amazing stuff, and it's a history that often gets lost, and that's why I've really, you know, as we've lost a lot of great creators over the last couple of years, I've really enjoyed Paul Levitt's memorials about each of them, where he's done like a week of posts about, you know, like he did like a week of posts about Len Wein, he did a week of about Stan. He's one of those guys who has a lot of that history, and, you know, what lived through a lot of that, and fortunately he's been very good at getting as much of it out there as he can. Whether it be the business stuff and the, you know, sort of the historical stuff, as well as just the mundane, you know, like the personal stories, the interactions, that sort of thing. And that's always really cool.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know, did you have a chance to look at the YouTube link I sent you?
I did not.
Over the weekend. It's okay. It's a YouTube by a YouTuber. Their channel is called NerdSync. I'll link it to the page. And they were doing how the new Teen Titans came about, because of course Titans is on DC Universe and everything. Right. And it's technically very vaguely Legion tie-in, because it talks about how Jim Shooter got hired at Marvel.
And it's, oh, that's right. Yes.
Story, because of course Marv Wolfman hired Jim Shooter back from advertising into comics. And then of course the great exodus of talent from Marvel to DC once Jim took control of Marvel Comics.
Yes.
It's an interesting little story, and that's how we got the new Teen Titans.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jim Shooter did learn at the feet of Mort Weisinger. So
Mort Weisinger, perhaps
literally.
A very touchy feely man, by all reports. Yeah. And,
So, you know, for him, it was all about, you know, getting shit out on time. And,
yep, that's it. Damn the torpedoes.
Yeah, you know, I've often heard, you know, it's and these are, again, these are the interesting stories, and these are the things that, like, I've learned a lot just by reading some of, like, Marty Pascoe's posts to Facebook of you know, stuff that went on and how things went, and it's very interesting, sometimes a bit too interesting, because sometimes it's like,
it's squeaky, isn't
that's
it?
that's more sausage than I needed to know about. You know, where it's just like, that's kind of disappointing that it was all like spite, basically.
Yeah.
But
well, this is very sausage laden. I did not realize that Marvel had about 8 editors in chief in the space of 4 years or 5.
Yeah.
Years.
Oh yeah. Like Jerry Conway, I think, was it for 5 minutes. And
yeah. They talk about that. They do. Cause he was the one right before Shooter.
Right, yeah, because it would have been Roy after Stan. It was Roy, and then he got sick of it, and then it was I mean, they got Roy Thomas to leave Marvel, and he'd been there right from the beginning, right?
Yeah, Roy left, and Jerry Conway left, yeah. Mark Wolfman left. It's like, okay. And then, of course, Perez left because he had been doing Avengers. Yeah. You know,
and so. Well, and Len and Marv had kind of been exiled. Oh, yeah, they had been exiled to Marvel because they tried to get away with something in Teen Titans, and so they got canned. And so they went over there, and then it was like, oh, yeah, this is much better.
Yep, the grass is not always greener on the other multiverse. So,
indeed,
you know.
Indeed. Yeah. So anyway. So yeah, no Legion news. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Save for cool videos that you can find on our Facebook page, as well as this very cool tabloid cover color guide. Ah, love it, love it. Mm-hmm. All right. So with all that in mind, we should get over to the book.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Now, you know what? Before we do that, a little bit of Legionnaire what? Business.
Oh, we have business?
Well, I do have a stump. The year-end stump of the subs.
Oh, is it from Murray, who's still mad that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie? it is
indeed from Murray.
Shocker. my dreadlock senses were tingling. I knew it was him. It's probably about all Christmas tales of the Legion, too, isn't it?
It is not. It is not at all.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So we've got that. But also the poll has come to an end.
Oh, no more polls?
Well,
that's what she said.
Hey now. The votes that we took to see what we're doing next. And it would be 5 years later has squeaked just past the Archie Legion. So the next for the next little while we'll hit on we'll do up 5 years later. And maybe we should just start it again. It's been a long damn time since.
Well, we should at least do a review,
yeah,
or something, because those first 12 or 13 issues are really dense. So
yeah, and for a little while we were doing like two in an episode. So So anyway, we'll talk about that part of it, and All right. So
you guys did the.
We only did the first 12.
First 12 issues, but that was back way back in episodes 62 through 67.
Mm.
So it's been like 9 years.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. So you did
issues 1, 2, and 3 in one episode.
That's so like us back then.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be decompression this time, folks. I think that's worth taking another
crack at.
Yeah.
So
that's what she said. It's worth taking another shadowed face.
Yes,
you see. All right.
I do see.
So there we go. That was that's all I had as far as bits of housekeeping kind of stuff.
You want to stump now or after the
Do you feel ready?
I'm fine.
Do you feel ready, punk?
Yeah. All right. I'm good.
Cool.
I'm not drinking tonight. I'm saving my drinking for tomorrow.
All right, then.
Deliver so a rest.
It'll just be Kono juice, then?
It's water tonight, actually. Mostly because I've got to go to work tomorrow. So, for the first time in a week, so I got to get my brain ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to get up at 6 in the morning. I don't. Anyway, I promise I'm an adult. I will do it, but still, I won't like it. Go ahead.
All right. For the first question, according to the Grand Comics database, what do these three comics have in common?
Ooh.
Legion of Superheroes number 57.
Which
Legion?
That would be the one that had an issue 57. So
yeah, that's the Baxter.
Okay.
Yeah. Legion of Superheroes 101. That was the reboot.
Okay.
And Legion of Superheroes number 49 from the three boot.
They both started stories that ended the run.
That is an excellent answer, but it is not the
Bastards.
Okay, so I've got two possible answers to this.
Okay.
First possible answer is that they are all three issues that are in a Legion of Superheroes title.
Yeah.
And the other one is named Three Issues That Are Not in My Kitchen.
Ah, that's right. But do we know that they're not in your kitchen right now, Michael?
I can guarantee they're not.
Okay, that's fair.
What it was all three of these issues were on sale during the first week of the new year. January 5th, 1989, January 2nd, 1998, and January 2nd, 2009.
That's that Murray for you.
There you go.
Being a tricky Canadian.
He had a theme.
There is a theme.
He likes it. That's why I went with what I went with, because I'm like, those are all like towards the end of the runs of those books. So I'm like, perhaps, but no, fine. I'm not bitter about it.
No, not at all. Not at all. According to the 1976 DC calendar, which Legionnaire was almost a New Year's baby with a birthday of December 30th?
Michael? Stay in Legion history?
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
You said the 30th?
December 30th. If it's Shadow Lass, I'm going to laugh.
Now, one thing I want to point out, this is contradicted by the 2995 source book, which places this Legionnaire's birthday on January 23rd.
That's not a shocker. So, I always wondered how Legionnaires had birthdays on Earth, because they weren't born on Earth.
Yeah,
they were born on Earth. It's the Earth equivalent.
The Earth equivalent date. But that assumes that all these planets have the same rotation.
Exactly.
Around their stars, right? Am I right,
No,
Michael?
Not necessarily. If you're talking about like something that happens on Mars, where the year is like 400 and some odd days, you're still going to have a January 1st on Earth, and that's what they will be going by.
So that's what I mean by
And is it Brainiac 5?
It is Brainiac 5.
Ah.
So, and I left out this part. He said, although this is contradicted by the 2995 source book, which places the haiku writing Legionnaire's birthday on January 23rd.
That's why
it's not in your file. He says, but I'm going to assume that's a typo, because the rest of the Legionnaires listed on the calendar match up with their source book birthday entries.
That's hilarious.
Once Mon-El punched the time trapper.
Yeah, well, that's
all
it. That's
bets are off.
Exactly.
It rattled Brainy's birthday over a little ways.
Exactly.
All right. So
Mon-El decided to hold on to that baby.
And that DC calendar that he talks about, while it looks cool to have a different superhero born on every day,
it is statistically
impossible to like 15 zeros of .0000 multiple zeros chance of that actually happening if you have 300 some odd people and none of them have the same birthday.
I agree with that entirely.
Well, we also have the Luck Lords, though.
Yeah, no, don't bring them into this. No. I just think they could have added like the wannabes to Batman's, date on that calendar and be like, that makes sense.
I think it's something like if you have a group of 23 people, the odds are better than 50-50 that two of them will share a birthday.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about Buona Beast and Batman having a shared birthday party.
Would be a Brave and the Bold I would watch.
Absolutely. Yes. And we get to take a drink because Travis just brought up Buona Beast.
I brought it up for
Darren brought him up.
Yeah, okay. All right, sorry.
Am I on mute? Can you see me?
Buona Beast has been invoked. I'm sorry. I'm also setting up for the next question. So
okay.
Yeah. My apologies.
Buona Beast and the Legion. When did Ambush Bug and Amazing Man team up?
Oh yeah. All right. Which
that would have been good.
Yeah, it would have been. Which comic was the first to place the Legion's ongoing adventures in the 31st century as opposed to the 30th century? Note, he's not asking for which comic stated that the Legion was formed in the 31st century because of DC's sliding timescale of making it always 1,000 years in front, but rather which comic series was the first to begin referencing the 31st century instead of the 30th?
All right, it would have to be the reboot, because the Baxter series ended in 2989, and the 5 years later took place in 2994-95.
Yeah, and Zero Hour happened then, so that was 1995. Zero Hour, right.
So we had more than 5 years worth of
the Juggies.
Of the reboot Legion, so I'm gonna say it's that group that.
But which comic series?
Oh, there were two. No, there were two: the Legion and the Legionnaires.
I don't think they referred to it. I don't think they said it was the 31st century until the Legion, which
maybe they
think launched in 2000. The Abnett and Lanning. When they relaunched it as one book,
you're absolutely right, Travis. It was Legion number one by Abnett and Lanning and Quappell with a cover date of December 2001.
Wow.
Okay. I got two Murray questions.
Look at you. It says the Legion of the Damned storyline that closed out the reboot run of stories starts with a line saying that it was the end of the 30th century and the first issue of the Legion book opens with a caption that says 31st century Earth. Neither Legion Lost nor Legion Worlds reference the date, although they did say that a year had passed since the conclusion of the previous series. So there you go. Fine work, Trav. And excellent questions, Murray, as indeed. Always. And I like.
You're still wrong about Die Hard.
Stop.
It's a Christmas movie. I'm sorry. It just is.
And for the record, Bruce Wayne's birthday is February 19th.
Yeah.
According to the 1976 DC calendar, Buona Beast is not listed on that calendar.
Oh, those bastards.
So we don't know.
I assume it's the same as Batman's then.
Yeah.
We don't know that it's not.
So Batman is an Aquarius Pisces cusp, which explains a lot. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. So now I'm sorry. I just have to get my copy of the calendar now. All right. So let's get into our story.
Secret Origins number 8.
Number 8. So this
came out. We're only doing half of it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So this was a good day to be buying Legion books when you picked this up off the stands, which would have been August 7th, 1986. In addition to this one being on the stands, you had issue 28 of the Baxter series, which had the cover of Starboy and Legion getting blown up on the cover. It's a cool blue shaded cover where they're looking for Atmos on Xanthu. And on that same day also was Annual 4 with Million Boy and Colossal Boy and Starfinger. I was waiting for that.
No, I'm not doing it. My throat's still a little.
That's got to be worth a drink when somebody sings Starfinger.
I think so, yeah.
So there you go.
All right, so.
Okay, so yeah, this Secret Origins number 8 Cover Shadowlass and Dollman. If you want to cover the Dollman story, you got to find the Freedom Fighters podcast.
There you go.
There might be one. I don't know.
There probably is one.
The cover is by Steve Lytle.
Yes, it is.
Very familiar to the Legion. We have Shadowlass and Dollman on the cover. All right, opening it up. This story is titled The Shadow of the Past. The writer is Paul Levitz. Artist is Tom Mandrake. Letterer is John Workman. Colorist is Carl Gafford. Editor is Robert Greenberger.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, with a tip of the hat to Jim Shooter and Kurt Swan, co-creators of Shadowlass. And is it Tasmia Malor or is it Tasmia?
Tasmia.
Tasmia.
Like Tasmanian, I think.
Yeah.
Sure.
And sure, she's in. Yeah, she's in this outfit that's after her Daughter of Dracula look is over.
Mm-hmm.
In the issue where the five new members of the Legion join. So just to place this kind of sort of where it goes.
Mandrake's work is really neat in this because it, of course, appropriately, lots and lots of use of shadow.
Yes.
And I always love when Mandrake inks himself.
Yes.
And there are bits of this story where it looks a little, almost a little... Mignola-esque as well.
I definitely think he was an influence on Mignola.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, no, it's amazing.
I've been a huge fan of his since his run on the Spectre, really.
Oh, my. Yeah, just brilliant, brilliant comics.
And though I love Mandrake completely, the splash page, Shadowlass is.
Not his best, yeah.
Her right hand, I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. It's kind of. Yeah. Like, what is she doing there? She broke her wrist? I don't know. But anyway,
I think it's somebody else's hand.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because it's putting out the power, the same power as the other hand. Weird.
I don't know. Anyway, there's no dialogue on page one. It's just showing the characters. So let's move on to page two. Let's see if I can get my computer monitor to work.
Yay, page two. Woohoo!
Alrighty, we got an establishing shot of the planet, and it says, under a distant star, a world spins softly in its orbit, far from our Earth. Civilizations rise, fall, and are reborn. Until the time of our story, 1,000 years from now, as the world we know as Talok 8 basks in the warm light of its star. And we see a city on the planet. And someone says, hear me now, people of the city, gather round. This must be the hour of courage, of fortitude. While we are surrounded by the Yakamahor down from the mountains, we must not lose hope. Ours has always been great luck, and we must trust that it shall come again. A long line of heroes have arisen to aid us since time immemorial, and surely one will come again. Sarvan Malor watched over us for 2 generations, and the Takamahor would not dare revolt if he still lived. In his death, he would not wish us to live in despair, not after 1,000 years of his ancestors watching over us. And we have a statue of Sarvan Malor, so
say a drink.
And this establishing shot, there's a older Talokian speaking to a large crowd, and he says, I, your Lord Mayor, have scoured the city to find a trace of the blood of Malor, the ancient line of heroes. And in our hour of greatest need, I have found our hope. And then we see some guards coming in, and they're escorting what appears to be a young girl. She may be familiar to us. The guards say, we have the girl, Lord Mayor, a granddaughter, according to the woman who watched over her, or perhaps a great niece. She was not sure. Her wisdom was not as gray as her hair.
She may be a second cousin 3 times removed.
Yeah, who knows?
She could be. It means you could marry her right now. This is a Game of Thrones world, which it looks like.
Perhaps she's the neighbor's child.
I don't know. She just came over for food one day.
She just kind of hang around. Okay, this is, well, lass, speak for yourself if you can. Are you of Malor's blood or not? And she says, I am Tasmia, sir, granddaughter to Sarvan Malor, who you honor so. And while I do not know how or where I can find the strength, if my ancestors watch over me, I will die before I let them be dishonored. And the crowd cheers. Yay, yay, yay. The mayor says, noble words for one so young. And Tasmia says, oh, not really sure. Looks like she's about to faint or something, but she doesn't. We skip ahead to the outside wall of the city. It's facing a desert. And it says, since birth, she had heard the tales of her ancestors, of their deeds and dreams that have made Talok 8 a safer place to dwell. She had their courage, if not their powers, and that would have to serve. The mayor asks her if she's ready, and she says, I must be, sir, for if there is a secret means by which Sarvan Malor worked his shadow magic, I will not find it in the city, across the desert, in the gentle rolling hills he loved. It may hide. And if this token left me years ago can point the way, and she has something looks like a form of compass, she says, I will manage the journey somehow. And we see some kind of desert lizard and maybe a skull. And there are pyramids in the distance, very similar to the Egyptian ones. And it says, the desert is vast and barren, but each of the stars overhead seems to twinkle like an approving eye, watching her passage. The token points north to the hills she's heard much about, and soon she can see them herself. And she started a little fire, and Tasmia is thinking to herself, why would Grandfather have come back here? These hills are not the mountains of the Yaka Mahor, nor the cities of our people. They must be a very lonely place. And she hears a growling, and she says, noises? There's nothing I want to meet in these lands, least of all at night. I have no weapons except fire. And she grabs a stick from her fire and waves it at some beasts that look very similar to wolves. She says, back. That's right. Run from the fire. Run from me. Go. And she chases them off. She does have the courage already. She said, the animals got almost everything. My food. My pack's torn. But I have my token. That must mean my ancestors wish me to finish my journey before I starve to death. At least I hope that's what it means. These hills are so strange, not open like our desert, or bright like the city full of light. Even though it's all so natural looking, it seems menacing, almost unnatural, and so full of shadows. It's dark here, even during the sun's height, but at least I can see a clear pathway up into the hills. Maybe this is the one Sarvan Malor took years ago, and it's just grown over with brush since he stopped coming this way. Or maybe I'm only a little girl who's going to have to die to prove to her ancestors that she's not a coward, even if she is a fool. And she's going through, I don't know, some rocky-looking wooded area into these hills. And it says, without her great-grandfather's token, the wooded hills would have swallowed her up and left no trace with it. She picked her way along the ancient byways deeper and deeper into the dark. And Tasmia is thinking to herself, soon I won't be able to see my own feet. I better make camp here, try to make a new fire. If the beasts come again tonight, well, what else could I do? And she hears a noise like a kick. And she says, noises? No, there's got to be something I can do. Maybe if I can get above them, here. And she climbs up on a height and is lifting a rock overhead. And says, come after me now, beast. At least some of you will. And then we see it appears to be a young boy. And he says, hi, what are you doing up there? She says, you're not a beast. You're a boy. And she falls over because that desert journey was rough on her.
Yeah.
And the little boy splashes some water on her face, waking her up. And he says, it's okay. You can wake up now. There's nobody here who will hurt you. Just me, Grev. But why are you here anyhow? Nobody ever comes to these woods. And Tasmin says, I came because my grandfather often came here before he died. He was Sarvan Malor, and I hope to find strength in his hiding places, or something that will let me help my people. And Grev says, Sarvan Malor is dead? No! He was my grandfather too. I loved him. And he said I was going to be his heir. He said we were the only ones left, but now there's you, and I'm going to be left all alone. And Tasmia replies, I don't know what to say, Griff. I guess grandfather had forgotten all about me. I was the only one left in my family, too. My
Grandpa name... got around. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there might be some more Malors around here somewhere.
You think.
Mm. But she introduces herself. She tells him her name's Tasmia. And she says, and if grandfather intended you to be his heir, you're the one who ought to have what I've been carrying. And Grev asks, what's that? She pulls out the token and he says, his amulet? Oh, no. He wouldn't have given that to me. That belongs in the city with the people there that he protected. And if you came all the way from the city by yourself, well, I think you ought to have it. And Tasmia suggests that they share it, which Grev thinks is fair. And he says, and since you're sharing the amulet with me, I guess I've got to share my secret with you. Want to see the secret place? This is where grandfather said there's a shrine of our ancestors, and he promised when he came back I could go in with him. I guess we ought to go in ourselves now. And they go to enter a dark cave with many shadows. And Tasmia says, I think I have to, Grev, because if there's any chance of finding what I came seeking, it's in here. And a cave, I've never seen one before. And Grev says, the caves are great, but spooky. Maybe you ought to light a fire. But Tasmia doesn't think they should. She says, somehow this place seems to belong in the darkness. We'll just have to do without. And Grev says, is it true there are never two heroes in our family at the same generation, Tasmia? Grandfather used to say that. Maybe neither of us will get to be his heir because he died and didn't pick one. Tasmia says, I doubt that, Grev, but eek! Grev says, what's that? And there looks like some type of gas or mist coming up and it's hissing. And Grev says, gas, hold your breath. Ugh. And then we see some larger than life people show up, all dressed out, some in armor, some have weapons, and they look like heroes of old.
And, all right, do y'all remember that scene in Mulan where the ancestors come forth? It's
yes,
that.
Yes. And the lead one says, ha, what is this, two pups come poking in the dark? And Grev says, grandfather, but you're dead. And he says, yes, but here I am, and the rest of your ancestors too, Grev, back to the beginning of our line. Now come to me, children. And yes, bring my amulet too. It will help you pass through the shadows. And Grev asks how. And his grandfather says, we have undone business, children, you and I. Tasmia says, but grandfather, I don't understand. Hush, and listen carefully. It is hard to reach back from the land beyond shadow, child. And it is only your power which lets me do so. And I guess that's Grev replying, my power? I don't have any power. No, Tasmia, my bad. Grev says, me either. And their grandfather says, ah, but you do, in your genes, as in those of all our lines for thousands of years.
In those Calvin Klein jeans he's wearing.
Exactly.
So this would have been a couple of years before we had Larissa Meller show up in LEGION.
I was going to ask. It's before LEGION.
It is before that. Yeah. However, we of course knew that there was a shadow champion from generations past because she was
Great Darkness Saga.
In Great Darkness.
Lydia
exactly.
Maller.
Yeah, Lydia. Right. So I mean, you know, that has been teased for a long time, and that's a background that's only going to get richer as things go on.
All right, and the grandfather says, listen well, my children, and I shall tell you of your power and your pride. And looks like we're getting a flashback. He says, generations ago, the people of our world lay under the tyranny of the kings from the stars. They came with power beyond our imagination and made our ancestors into slaves, and they lived in despair. Yet not all of them did. And we see a city. And we have an orange building in the middle that looks like an upside-down spaceship. Huh. And we see a voice coming from that. Softly, softly, comrades. We've made it through the outer walls. But if the kings are to pay for their pillage, we have far to go before daybreak and our lives to lose if we fail. Higher, comrades. Almost there. And we see a group, and they're scaling the walls with some rope. It says, go slow, Malor. We must catch up to you. And he says, if I wait for you, I give the kings more time to notice us. follow as you can, Darren. I enter the tower. And they get to the top, says, by my ancestors, what is this? What are these things? And there's some machinery and robots. And they say, they're machines, the king's devices to oppress us. Malor, how are we to destroy them all? One by one, comrade, until the kings go back beyond the stars from which they came. And there's the first to be destroyed. And it blasts one of his comrades. Eek! Zap! And Malor says, ancestors protect me. He's got a sword. Sword against the robots with lasers.
Yep.
And he says, whatever the creature is, avoid it. And he says, no, Darren. And
no, me.
Only spelled D-A-R-A-N.
Yep.
And all his comrades are getting zapped. And he says, we cannot stand before these metallic monsters. Come, let us go deeper into the tower while we can. And his companion says, go, Malor. We shall hold them as long as we can. Go and give us hope of victory tonight. And he goes running through and he says, if I am to be our only chance, so be it. Should I survive, our world will honor your memories, comrades. And there's a lot of writing on the walls. Kind of like hieroglyphics. Maybe Interlac hieroglyphics. I don't know.
It looks kind of runic. Looks kind of Dwarven.
Yeah, I don't know. We've probably got a translation expert somewhere that'll tell us what it is. And he comes into a room with even larger machinery. And he says, if I fail, perhaps our children shall have to do the deed instead. The gleaming creatures rolled right past my hiding place as though they were senseless. What manner of beast are they, and what manner of place is this? And that globe, it pulsates like a living being. Yet it is smooth and polished as though glass. I can feel its power even through the surface. But does it live, or is it merely part of this tower of torture? And does it matter if by striking at it I can hold the kings from beyond the stars? If they walk the halls, their monsters must not have told them of the presence of rebels, or else my comrades are dead, and with them all dreams of freedom. And we see the kings of the stars going by from an open doorway, and they look like they're different races and robots. None of it looks familiar to me, though.
Nah.
Must be new things. And so we have Malor coming out with a sword, and he says, tyrant! And one of the kings says, a native! Robot sensors, lock on and kill! Lore says, if I am to join those who have gone before, Thiever of Thrones, perhaps I shall not have to go alone. And he shatters the red globe with his sword and causes an explosion, and we get a thoom and a kaboom.
We'll combine those and take a drink.
Exactly. Yep. Then we see wreckage, and Lore is still alive, which is good. And it says, death refused to take Malor, though his hurts were grievous. He lingered in the land between life and memory long, as prayers were heard round his body until he woke. And he wakes in a room, and he's surrounded by people in robes. And they say, hush, do you hear? He lives. Malor lives. And he gets up, and he's got some shadowy energy coming out of his hand. And he says, I live, but is this me? What power I feel? See? And he projects shadows all through the room, which scares the people.
Yeah.
And it says, shadows have bent themselves to his mastery in the form of energies that reminded Malor of the tower he had toppled. But he refused to become a tyrant like those he had doomed. So he buried the remains of the kings from beyond the stars, and with them the temptation. And became the first of our line to be called hero by his people. And such is the power that came down from him to us. And anyway, we'll go back to the present, or the first flashback, I guess, for Shady's origin here. And Tasmia says, then you mean we have that power of shadow like you did? And their grandfather says, you have the potential for it, children, and it waits only to be loosed. And she says, but I don't understand how we can see you or hear you, much less how we can use shadows. And he says, all on Talok have the gift of ancestral memory, child. You know that. For some it is greater than others, as Makas grants. With your strength, it is enough to call us from the shades. Grev says, then tell us, grandfather, why were the two of us called? And Tasmia says, what are we supposed to do? And their grandfather says, bring honor to the family, my children's children. Be heroes worthy of our name, and let the shadows ever serve you well. And with that, Tasmia and Grev start to project the shadows from their hands as well. And two children came from the hills, but only one returned to the city. Grev was too young and not yet ready to feel the full strength in his soul. But Tasmia, already her old name, was close to forgotten. And we flash forward, and Tasmia is wearing an outfit, looks pretty much just like the one she did when she joined the Legion. Mm-hmm. And she's walking along and thinking, it doesn't matter who I was. I have to concentrate on my power, on the gift. It was enough for my ancestors. It will serve me as well. And the city that is now in my keeping. Grandfather, give me strength. And she yells, Yaka Mahor, hear me now. Leave the city's plains. Go back to your mountains in peace, or feel the wrath of Shadowlass. If there is dark evil in your souls, then live in darkness. And she projects her shadows over the whole army there, and they're screaming.
Ah!
Yeah. And they say, the power. She has the power. And she says, that's right, the power of shadow that has defeated you again and again. I am the blood of Malor, the blood of heroes, and I bid you be gone. And we see an image of her grandfather in her eyes. And her people are behind her cheering on as the army is screaming and fleeing. And the mayor says, I told you, my people, we would triumph. The Yaka Mahor remember their past defeats in the shadow, and our new heroine has proved we need not fear their return. And then it says, Talokate prospered, and their new heroine became legend across the world. And in the next years, as Talok became a part of the United Planets, her fame spread. And we see a spaceship, and it's some people talking, saying, it's quite a privilege to be a part of our first delegation as a member world, Lord Mayor. Bah, you deserve it, child. Besides, we shall see if you think of such an honor to be think it such an honor to be trapped in stuffy ceremony when we get to this world called Earth. And we get to a ceremony, which I guess is admitting them to the United Planets. And someone's saying, to order, please. Can we conclude the trade portion of these talks today, please? And someone's coming in, pardon me, but I have urgent news. Ambassador Relnik, what's the matter, man? All contact with Talokate has been shut off. The planet's isolated itself from the universe. Something has gone terribly wrong on your home world. And we cut again. And we see Shadowlass with some legionnaires that she first encountered back in her first appearance. And it says, to save Talokate from whatever was menacing it, the Legion of Superheroes were enlisted. Use of great power gathered from across time and space, and Shadowlass returned to her world as their guide. And there she is addressing Brainiac 5, Karate Kid, Cosmic Boy, Superboy. Wow, I never met so many heroes from different worlds. And Superboy says, if you think this is a lie, you should see the whole Legion, Shadowlass.
And she's only interested in the strong men at this point, though.
Right. And then we see the Fatal Five, the original lineup. And it says, the Fatal Five had conquered her world, and as her ancestors had, she was forced to battle for a planet's freedom. But she did not stand alone. And in the flashback, we do see the sling on her arm for when she hurt her arm. Continuity.
Yes.
And if Talok rocked with the combat, so too did Earth. Five mighty heroes against five of their deadliest enemies. And when it was done, Shadowlass had won new honors and a place in the Legion of Superheroes. And just throughout that, we got flashback images. Then we cut back to Talok 8. And it says, years have rolled by since, and hearts have grown and changed. Yet still the blood of Malor stands guard over Talok 8. And Tasmia is talking to Grev, and she says, are you sure you're ready, Grev? And he says, I even took that training at the Legion Academy, remember? Of course I'm ready. Trust me, cousin. She says, I do, or I would never have left Talloc 8 in the first place. But I knew there was a reason why two of our generation got the gift of Shadow. And he says, I'll use it well, I promise, Tasmia. But what I don't know is how you can stand to be away from the city in the desert. I thought they were your home forever. And she says, so did I once, but I found my home with the Legion, Grev. And there's a lot of truth in an older saying, home is where your heart is. And with that, we have Monel come whooshing in to scoop her up. And she says, bye. And Monel says, back to Earth, Shady, my love. And she says, please, Monel. And that's it.
I just hope they're not going on vacation, because it always goes
bad. It ends bad when they're on vacation. Oh, my God.
So one thing that didn't occur to me until we were reading this, the flashback of Shadowlass joining the Legion with Cosmic Boy, Karate Kid, and Brainiac 5 and Superboy there.
Yeah.
This issue was cover dated November 1986. January 1987 was the first John Byrne Superman. So this, I'm surprised they... this could be one of the last appearances of
Superboy.
Prior to the John Byrne reboot.
And that's what's interesting, because of course, you know, Levitz felt that there had to be at least at least one line by Superboy in it. You know, aside from Mon-El, he's the only other Legionnaire that really speaks. That's very interesting. We were just beyond the crisis, because of course that's when this series started, and that's how you have Greenberger working as editor. And
crisis was over by this point.
Oh no, it was far over. Yeah, because the first issue was the Golden Age Superman. And it was a big deal about how, you know, this isn't a guy that currently exists in continuity anymore, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And so this is where a lot of the lore of how did all this stuff happen on One Earth, this is where a lot of that came about, you know, in this series, was this is where we got sort of the new history of the DC Universe post-crisis. And so we understood, you know, how in this issue, how Dollman tied into World War II on, you know, the only Earth.
True. You know? That's kind of what Secret Origins was doing, is retelling origins within the new crisis, you know, construction.
And this was almost like a companion book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, I think an essential book as far as reading at the time, you know, between this and you know the various who's that came out, but this was at least a narrative version of all that history, right? Because we also got the Mayfair Games source books, which did give a lot of information as to that, you know, the Titans one. Clarified a lot of that stuff, as did the Justice League one. You know, I still keep them on my shelves. You know, not so much as gameplay, because I haven't played the game in
decades.
Yeah. Although, hey, I got kids who are into superheroes, so it may come out again.
Give it a minute. Yeah. Give it a minute.
Exactly. And but the source books, yeah, I still have all of them, because you know they're a great reference. And sometimes an easier reference for some detail, especially for at the time. And so, I mean, this book, you know, whereas those were all reference materials, you know, who's who and the source books, this was a narrative version of the same. So you actually got a good story out of it too. You know, you got like a Levitz and Mandrake doing Shadowlass and Roy Thomas and Murphy freaking Anderson doing Dollman. It's a win. I love Secret Origins. It's possibly, as people know, it's possibly one of my all-time favorite series. So there we have it.
It's true. It probably is.
So I'm going to wager.
Oh,
sorry. Any last thoughts on Tasmia's origin?
We didn't really know much about her origin before this.
It's true.
Except that she was the shadow champion of her planet, and it was retconned in that Grev, who we had actually seen before her on, where was it, with Nardo, what planet was that? Where were they at? It's slipping my mind at the moment. The Super Stalag of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had already met Grev before then.
Well, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was retconned later into
being... To be her little cousin.
Cousin. And then we saw him at the Academy. But that was really all we knew about her origin story. It was a total blank, just waiting for the right writer to fill in her backstory. Mm.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
It's really got me wanting to reread that issue that revealed the origin of Umbra, the reboot version of Shadowlass. Because there was a Legends of the Legion issue that revealed her origin, and I remember it. I only read it, I think, once ever. But I remember it being a little confusing and one of those unreliable narrator type stories.
Yeah.
So now I kind of want to revisit it.
Yeah.
I can picture the cover, but I don't remember what's inside.
I think Mary Kitson wrote it.
Yeah, probably.
I think you're right.
Which, since he was, I think he took over writing of Legion at that time, so he might have been tying it back, the whole Talokate lineage there. I don't know. I really want to revisit that.
I think you're right. I think you're right from what I remember, and that's been a hot minute because I went a little tear of reading Barry stuff, but yeah, that's.
So that was Legends of the Legion number 3.
Yeah, so it was Kitson and Tom Payer.
Okay.
Yeah. So probably a plotted scripted kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's been a while since I read it, but that was a good little mini. I love that. It was the same as when in Teen Titans where they New Teen Titans when they did the little mini series. You know, Tales of the Titans, that was basically the origins of the new members. And so you had like the Cyborg issue, you had Starfire, Beast, Changeling, and Raven. And it kind of gave you the full story, even the stuff, you know, stuff that hadn't been covered in the book and was later mined for other great stories. So yeah, it was very cool. And I enjoyed this one. And I mean, yeah, Kitson artwork. Yeah, I'm in.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So I believe that there are some happenings in Legion history.
Would you believe that there are?
I would believe that because I know that you were already looking through them.
So 50 years ago this week. December 31st, 1968, Adventure Comics number 377 came out. That's the one that's got Superboy and Phantom or Princess Projector counting their money as heroes for hire.
Oh.
But that was just a trick. They weren't really heroes for hire. They paid all the money back with interest.
Sweet Christmas.
30 years ago was the Legion 89 issue number 1.
Yeah.
Which had a certain Durlan in it. Who...
Which one? There are two.
We would later see the Durlan.
Well, become, three, yeah. Sorry,
the Durlan. Become somebody else. There was introduction of... Or basically the introduction of Vrildox, who was Brainiac 5's ancestor, and Larissa Maller, who was Shadowlass's ancestor.
Yeah.
Which, of course, made everyone wonder who would shag Vrildox, and then you got that answer later in Legion pretty quickly. You're like, wow, that's how that happened. Okay.
So 30 years ago on January 3rd, 20 years ago on December 30th, was the Legends of the DCU Crisis on Infinite Earths number 1, which was the one where they Everybody went to the multicultural world of Earth D, and that was, you know, a black Superman and an Asian Green Lantern or something like that. But that
got that was completely... diversity Earth, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And also on that date, December 30th, 1998, was Legion V4 number 112, and that was. In the reboot, we had a spotlight on Triad and Pharaoh against the Metal Eaters and the Plague of Gronk, Howl, and Murder Matan. let's see. 10 years ago was Legion Volume 5, Number 49, which Murray just mentioned. And that was... on sale January 2nd, 2009.
Yeah.
That was the second to last issue.
The penultimate issue.
The penultimate, but not the penultimate issue as far as Jim Shooter wanted his storyline to be.
Exactly.
Let's see, 950 years from now, this week, January 2nd, 2969, is the birthday of Grev Mallor. So happy birthday, Grev.
Yay.
He is going to will have been born 950 years from now.
Oh, there you or go. He's
turning -950 next week.
Oh, look at him.
For this week, yeah. And then 970 years from now, on New Year's Day 2989, Quizlet is forced to return permanently to Teal when the Emerald Empress destroys his ship. And the Emerald Empress asks Sensor Girl to hide her existence from the Emerald Eye, and she dies.
You said Teal real close to the Emerald Empress. I'm like, maybe Emerald is too shocking a color, and she went teal all of a sudden.
Could be.
No.
There you have it.
Poor Quizlet. He never got the chance to betray the Legion.
And that's it for this week in Legion past and future history.
It is that. Yay. that is it for this year.
Yeah.
In Legion past and future history. So we will have more next year.
Yeah. Next year.
Exactly.
Which is so far away.
So far away. Yes, exactly. All right. So then let's wrap this up.
And Happy New Year to everybody who is listening this absolutely. In the new year.
Happy New Year.
Be safe. Be safe. Party responsibly, people.
Yep.
Don't drink and drive. Call an Uber.
Yes. Call an Uber. Call an Uber. A $20 Uber full, is way cheaper than 10,000 DUI or whatever.
Yeah. Or
not to mention anything else that you might get. So
don't pull a Colossal Boy. Don't go.
Yeah, don't. Yes. Don't.
No crashes.
Indeed. All right. Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we will see you all next year.
Happy New Year!